Well, I told you that I'd have a very special guest in the studio on Midday Oasis today, and I am delighted to let you know that internationally renowned vocalist and stage performer David Gashin is in the studio with us. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And what I told folks earlier was that, of course, you are very well known for your 13 years as a Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera.
My goodness. Yes, I know the words. Yes. In two languages, I might add. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
But today, you are here to tell us about Nativity Rock Opera. It's at Mozart's Coffee Roasters at the Festival of Lights, which they have every year. But I'm talking about the rock opera He Rules the World, and it's by Peter Emerson. And you'll be performing, you know, star of the show, December 12th through the 20th.
Yes.
Wow. And have you done this work before?
Yes, we have. We started in 2022, and our first performance was actually here in Austin at the Dell Auditorium. Not the big one, but the one at the, there's a private school that Dell, Mr. Dell, the computer guy, built for his kids at the Michael built. And we performed there. Then we performed again in Waco in 2023 and 24. And then and now it's this year at 2025 for the Festival of Lights. And it's an exciting show. It really is. I mean, Peter Emerson is a brilliant musician and composer, and he's taken some wonderful old-fashioned Christmas carols reformed them to fit with a jazz, pop, rock infusion. And you'll recognize the melodies, but the way he arranged it and the way it's sung, it's a whole different way of looking at carols and songs about Christmas. So.
Yeah. And as I say, it runs through December 12th through the 20th. There are 9 performances. You're used to a long string of performances, yes?
I am. I'm very used to that. So I was in New York in 1999 when we broke the record for the longest running show on Broadway.
So, how exciting.
Great. Actually, not 1999. It was 2005. 2005. I started on Broadway in 1999.
Okay. Right. And although, you know, so Broadway, it doesn't get much bigger than that, but you are a native Texan from Lubbock?
I am. I'm from Lubbock, grew up in Lubbock. I'm the last of 8 kids, so I always had a built-in audience, which was nice. And I have 5 sisters and 2 brothers, and my mom and dad are in heaven right now, but after 8 kids, I guess my mom should be in heaven right now.
She's a saint.
Yeah, she is a saint. So, we're all still in Texas. I was the only one who actually ever left Texas, except my brother left for about a couple of years, but I left for Europe and then New York and came back.
Right, so. I forgot to say, you actually performed Phantom in Europe as well.
I did.
The other language being?
German.
Okay, I was going to say French or German.
We did it. I was in Switzerland for 2 years, and I was the Phantom alternate, which meant I had one show a week as the Phantom and covered the Phantom the rest of the week. But I was also the swing, which covers all of the male chorus parts. So I had to know 16 different male chorus part roles.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And the Phantom in German. And it was funny because my last class to get out of Texas Tech was German.
Interesting.
And I thought, when am I going to use musical theater in German? Come on. And God does have a sense of humor. So my first big role was Phantom in German.
Wirklich?
Ja, das ist sehr gut für mich, ja. It was unbelievable. After we had been running for about, maybe 3 months, then we switched to 6 times a week in German and 2 times a week in English.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to relearn the show in English so I knew 16 roles in German and in English. So,
well, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what brought you here, but I do want to ask you, was there any point, and I know this sometimes as a singer, where I will transpose words from another song if the chord changes are similar, was there any point where you went from German to English in one of the shows or vice versa?
I want to say no.
Okay.
I really want to say no, but numerous times.
Well, that's just human.
One time in the last scene where Christine comes back into the final lair and gives the ring he gave her back, We had been doing it in this language, in German. And when I chased them out and I was by myself, I went up. I thought, what language am I in? I have no idea. And I went down to the monkey to sing Masquerade, Paper Faces on Parade. And I just mumbled. And then she comes back in, gives me the ring, and her mic is off, and she goes, German.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great story.
I love you, Christine. Yeah.
That's a great story. What inspired you to sing, and was there any background in your family? Did you all sing, at least
Well,
in a
we
choir?
All sang. We were all on pitch. But I grew up mostly, and I grew up mostly on the Jacksons the Motown and you know, Dan Fogelberg in the 70s, Barbara Streisand, all the pop music then. And when I was 15, I went to a Catholic school through my ninth grade year, and they didn't have a music program at all. I sang one time for the student talent show.
Right.
I think I sang Leader of the Band by Dan Fogelberg.
Okay.
And and then I went to a public school, Monterey in Lubbock, and tried out for the musical.
And you got it.
I got the lead.
Of course.
And
you
I'd
did.
Never been in a musical. I was like, what? I just wanted to be in the show. I need an elective, you know? Ends up that it was Grease. We were doing Grease, and I was Zuko. And, you know, at that time, I had all black hair and more of a tan than I do right now. So I looked really Italian. They cast me as Zuko. The bonus part was the head cheerleader, prettiest girl in school, was Sandy.
Right.
So I went from sophomore coming in, no one knows, to getting to kiss the prettiest girl in school on stage.
Wow.
I was like, I like this musical
yeah,
stuff.
It gave
it's
going to
be
props.
Fun.
Yeah.
She lives in Austin now. Amy Crowfoot is her
lovely.
Name. Yeah, she's a beautiful girl.
Okay.
Good friend of mine.
Well, what do you love about singing in this style? I realize you do, it's towing the line between opera and popular music. What do you love about that?
Well, because I trained so heavily in classical music at Tech, I have a, as you know, to put it plainly, a more of a legit sound, a little rounder sound. And musical theater has more of a pointed, they worry more about the words. In other words, they worry more about telling the story because it's a theater, right? In opera, most of it's in a different language, so they just worry about the production of the voice and the roundness and the pear-shaped tones and everything like that. But I like to mix them and use to try to mesh together the sound that I have into more of a musical theater slash kind of pop sound, but it's a legit pop sound.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And for this program, this show, He Rules the World, a rock opera of the Nativity, you're working with some other very fine singers.
What's amazing is I'm the producer for the talent in the show. They asked me to be the producer of the talent in the show to get the vocal talent, not the band. The band is absolutely amazing. But the singers are all former students of mine, except one. So...
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're all fantastic singers.
Well, so. Where were you teaching them? Was that in New York?
And I run a voice studio in Frisco.
So you go, you're all over the place.
Yeah, mostly in Frisco. I don't go okay. back to New York much anymore.
Right.
But I'm in Frisco probably 95% of the year, and I run that voice studio there. So,
well, as a singer myself, I'd like to know, how did you keep it fresh on Broadway for some 13 years?
That's funny. I said to myself when I started on Broadway, as soon as it's not the best thing I've ever done, as soon as it's not the most wonderful experience I've ever had and feeling privileged like I was to be able to be on Broadway,
right.
And you start thinking about other stuff during the show that, you know, you're on stage and you're thinking about your laundry list or, you know, what to do when the show's over to get your... you know, mundane daily stuff done, then I'll quit. Because I always thought of it as there's going to be someone in that audience who's never seen The Phantom of the Opera. And you want to give them the experience that I got the first time I saw Phantom of the Opera. So you have to keep that energy up to be fair to them. And at the time, tickets were $100. Now they're $200, you know. And you want to give them their money's worth. And as soon as it started to get that way, I said, I'm done. And I left and came back down to Texas.
Was it scary to leave it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Well, Phantom at the time was as close to a 9-to-5 job as you could have. You pretty much guaranteed that show was going to run. Mm-hmm. And I said, why leave it? I'm doing a musical. I get to, you know, I was an understudy for Phantom on Broadway. So I got to do other roles. I got to do the Phantom every once in a while.
Right.
And I was living the dream. I was on Broadway. I was in the major league of theater. But it's once you go, it's you have to give that energy, you know. You have to make sure that you give that energy. And I finally said, I've had enough.
Okay. You know? Well, good for you.
I mean,
that's admirable, really.
Well, it wasn't fair to me or to the audience or to my cast members. Yeah. And you know, some people just ran it out until the end,
right. Which
is fine, you know. But and I'd love New York, but I was ready to get back to Texas.
Okay. That's cool. And I did want to add that you are on the recording Broadway's Fabulous Phantoms.
Yes.
With the likes of Michael Crawford, of course, and Howard McGillin and Hugh Panero. So that's pretty cool. So you've got that. That's bronze
hanging up on my wall for my grandkids someday. Oh. That was quite an honor to be able to be in with them.
Well, what advice would you give to someone starting out in music, perhaps in singing? It's very different than it was 20 years ago.
It is. With the advent of social media, I think you have to be able to be social media savvy. You have to be able to toot your own horn. But the number one thing you have to do is stay consistent. Don't give up. Like, it's a very hard world in the theater. It's not normal. It's not your normal 9-to-5 job. You don't have, it's change. And if you can't deal with that, if it's not in your system to deal with that, leave. Go sell life insurance or be a chemist or be a doctor or something. But because it's so hard, you have to have focus and not let anything else get in your way all the way to the end. And, you know, I'm a Christian, so I really based all of mine on it. I put all of my power into glory to God.
Okay.
He gets all the glory. Yeah. And that it not only helps you have a reason to sing, but it helps you stay humble, realizing that we're all helpless anyways. This was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So to share it with other people is a big priority for me for that. So for you young kids out there, stay focused, stay positive, stay humble, and work like everything depends on you, and pray like everything depends on God.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, what do you love about the Nativity Opera at Mozart's?
It's a really ingenious way of telling the Nativity. Peter originally saw the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, who's coming to town, I think, sometime soon, and he saw that and he said, "I can do that. I can write that." So he wrote one, and the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, don't get me wrong, it's an incredible show, absolutely incredible show, but they really didn't. It was more secular than it was sacred.
Okay.
And Peter wanted to have that style of show with the rock lights and the lasers and the LCD screens and stuff like that, or LED, whatever they're called,
LED.
One of those letters, to have all of those in there, but to actually mention the birth of Christ and talk about what it meant for the world. And the way he put it together is brilliant with these songs. And each song has a different character. Each song has its own special thing, but it's all wound up beautifully, narrated by Kevin Sorbo.
Wow.
On the LED screens, they're going to have some animation during our performance at Mozart's of each song and then the story in between to tell them the birth of Christ.
Right.
So, you know, and once again, you never know who's heard that.
Right, right.
You'd think, oh, it's Christmas. Everybody's heard that. But some people think Christmas is just a day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No. So he wanted to do that and try to spread the gospel through that and show people there's hope for the world. And he was born 2,000 years ago.
Yeah. I hope there's hope for the world.
Yes. The way it's going, there better be hope. Yeah.
Yes. And you have a Christmas CD. When did that come out?
2015. I really like it. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, it was. Friends of mine who were, I was teaching their child, put the money up for me to make, they wanted me to make a Christmas CD. So I made the Christmas CD. And I sing at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco. Mm-hmm. Chuck Swindoll, who's a famous preacher, he started it. He's retired since. But they allowed me to record in their recording studio.
Oh, nice.
So,
wow.
And use some of their tracks of the orchestra. And it was a really wonderful experience. So
we are looking forward to your performance at Mozart's Coffee Roasters at the Festival of Lights. He Rules the World, a rock opera by Peter Emerson. David Gashin, I can't thank you enough for coming in today to tell us all about this. And folks, you can go to mozartscoffee.com to get your tickets now.
Yes, you won't want to miss it. It's an incredible show. Wonderful singers, I know, because I taught them all, and except for Alex,
yeah.
And it will be a unique experience, especially at Mozart's with all the beautiful Christmas lights. You won't want to miss it. Take all your kids. It's family friendly. They've got great food at Mozart's. They've got great coffee, of course, at Mozart's, and you'll have great entertainment. So, okay. And I'll do my best.
So if one of the singers doesn't quite hit the note, are you going to give them the side eye?
Oh, no, because I got to bring my A game with them now, so I can't.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.